ان الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على اشرف الانبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه واله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we were talking about what is taqwa. As I mentioned yesterday, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radhiyallahu anhu, somebody asked him this question. And he said, what is taqwa? And he illustrated it very beautifully. He asked the man, he said, if you have to go through a very thorny patch of land, full of thorny bushes, and the path that you have to walk on, there's only one path, and the path is very narrow. How will you walk on this path? So the man said, I will gather my clothes close to my body and I will walk very carefully, because there are thorny bushes all around, path is very narrow, and if I don't gather my clothes close to my body and I don't walk carefully, then my clothes will get caught on the thorns and they will be torn. He said, that is the meaning of taqwa. Taqwa is ihtiyat. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, every king has a boundary and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his boundaries. So do not go close to the boundary. He did not say don't cross the boundary. He said don't go close to the boundary. He said, do not be like the shepherd who grazes his flock of sheep very close to the boundary of the king. If he does that, then there is a chance that one sheep or the other will go across the boundary and then the shepherd will be in trouble. So if you are a shepherd grazing your sheep and you see that you are getting close to the boundary of the king, keep yourself away and keep your flock away from the boundary of the king so that there is no chance of the boundary being crossed. The boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those things which He has made haram. What He has prohibited, these are the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you go skating close to that boundary, then the chance is that someday or the other you are going to fall into it. Has to happen. So that is why safety lies in ihtiyat, lies in being careful, lies in protecting yourself before you get into a situation where you need to be rescued. So that is the meaning of taqwa. Taqwa is to obey, and obey because you love the one you obey and you do not want to displease the one you obey. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ta'ala Allahul Amthal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above any example that is given. We don't give the example of Allah. But to understand the issue of love and fear, which I explained yesterday, imagine somebody who smokes. Smoking is haram, so to do that in any case is prohibited. But even the person who smokes will not smoke in front of his father or in front of his mother. Right? I mean, if he has any ghirat at all, we are living in a world today where all of these statements have to be made with, you know, we're wondering whether you are saying it, whether it is true or not. But anyway, at least the generation that I was born in, even the people who smoke will hide somewhere. I mean, definitely they will not smoke. Now, not because the person is physically afraid of the father or physically afraid of the mother, but because of respect for them, because of love for them, they don't want their parents to see anything which will cause them pain. Although what he's doing itself is wrong, and if he's so concerned about his parents' approval, he should be even more concerned about the approval of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from whom nothing can be hidden. But this is the problem of not having taqwa. So very, very important. There's a famous share of Allama Iqbal rahmatullah alayh, where he said, وہ ایک سجدہ جسے تو گران سمجھتا ہے ہزار سجدوں سے دیتا ہے آدمی کو نجات. He said that one sajda which you find so difficult to make actually releases you from making thousands of sujood to the makhluk. It releases you from the problem of making thousands of sujood. What is the meaning of that? It means that if you fear to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if you live your life in a way which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you don't have to fear displeasing anybody else, because your life automatically will become such that it will please everyone else. To give you some concrete examples, a person who is focused on pleasing only Allah, how will he drive his car? he will drive his car with consideration for the people on the street, because this is what pleases Allah. So when he's driving his car now, his intention is to please Allah, nothing else. He is doing it only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what is his behavior? His manifestation of the behavior is what? That he's driving his car in a way where he is considerate to other people. So will the people be pleased with him or not? A person who is living his life only to please Allah, how will he treat his guests? He is not treating the guests to please the guest. He is doing it because this pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be generous to the guests, be polite to them, be nice to them. You have guests, you come and sit there, you do. Now, when a person does all that, what do you think the guests will say? They say, what a wonderful man. Look at their hospitality, such nice people. A person who wants to please Allah, when he comes to the masjid, where will he pray? In the walkway? Will he pray in front of the door? He will pray in a way which is not going to cause inconvenience to anybody. Now, what will people say about that? Very happy about that. Right? A person who wants to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how will he treat his wife? Will he yell and scream at her and, you know, kick and boot her? No. Will treat her with respect, with love, with affection. How will he treat his children? How will she treat her husband? How will he treat his parents, father, mother, so on? How will the parents treat their children? I mean, I don't think I need to give any more examples. You look at this, every single thing. And remember, that person who is doing it, the man or woman, is not doing it to please the wife, not doing it to please the father, not doing it to please the boss, not doing it to please the sabat. No, he is doing it only for one reason. Ikhlas un niyyah is inside the heart, Allah knows. He is doing it only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is talking to his customers in the best possible way. Rabbi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you are weighing something for the customer, give the customer a bit more. Why? He is not teaching you customer service. He is saying because this pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in the process, that is the best customer service advice they can give anybody. Give the customer a bit more. So whether it's a bit more time, a bit more courtesy, a bit more actual material, or whatever the case might be, give the customer a bit more. So what happens? Immediately, the customer is inclined toward you. Say, what wonderful people. You know, when I want to go to that shop. I want to deal with that person. In business, competence and product quality is a given. I mean, in my parlance and what I tell people, that quality and competence is not a competitive advantage. Everybody's got it. If you don't have it, you are not even in the ballpark. You are not even in. You are not even running. That is a given. What is the differentiator? The differentiator is service quality. Differentiator is service quality. Differentiator is your dealing with people. So people will come to you not because you are competent, because that is understood. They will not come to you if you are incompetent. So competence is a given. They come to you because you are nice to them. Now why are you nice to them? Because you want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, be nice to people. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. You have been sent for the benefit of people. For the benefit of people. So if you are working to benefit people, this pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And obviously it pleases the people because you are benefiting them. This is the meaning of taqwa. Taqwa is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the intention that only that Allah should be pleased. So not worry about the pleasure of anyone else, because that is automatic. And that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with somebody, he calls Jibreel alayhi salam and announces to Jibreel alayhi salam the name of that person and says, I am pleased with so and so. And Jibreel alayhi salam announces this, and the inhabitants of the heavens and the earth become inclined towards that person. They respect that person, they love that person. And the opposite of this, the same thing. This is one of the hadiths of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is the reason why selective obedience is disobedience. Many times you find people will take one piece, they will do this, but they will not do that. Selective obedience is disobedience, because if there are three things to be obeyed, and you say, well, I will obey one of them, what are you doing effectively? You are saying, I will disobey two of them. Or I will obey two and I will disobey one. So, selective obedience is disobedience. Obedience in Islam is supposed to be total. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان انه لكم عدو مبين. اللہ سبحانہ وتعالیٰ says in Surah Al-Baqarah, oh you believe, enter into Islam completely, totally, not partially, not selectively, completely and totally, and remember that shaitan is your worst enemy. Do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. Verily and truly, he is your worst and open enemy. Adawwa mubin. He is, there is nothing secret about that. He is open. And what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about those who do selective obedience? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ. Allah said, are you among those who will take something from the book and you will leave something else? You will accept something else and you will reject something else? Both are from the book. Both are the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will do this but I will not do that. Are you going to be among those people? And if you are like that, وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ, what is the result of that? خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I will give you hardship in this world. خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. I will give you hardship in this world. وَيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ. And on the day of judgment, that person will be thrown into the worst of the punishment. أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ, the worst of the punishment. Who is this person? Is it a person who rejected Allah? Is it a person who is an atheist? Is it a person who is a kafir? Is it a person who said, no, sorry, I don't accept anything? No. This is a person who picked and chose, who selected and took something from here and took something from there. And what he didn't like, he left. Why is the punishment for that person so severe? Because this is a sign of arrogance. The one who rejected, rejected. That's a different matter. But this is a sign of arrogance. The person is taking something and leaving something. Let me give you another example from the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. Allah said, woe to those who pray. A curse on those who pray. Lanat on those who pray. Are, ajib baat. The person is praying. The person is praying. How, why are you saying woe to the person who pray? And Allah is saying it, I am not saying it. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Those who delay their salah. These are the people who delay their salah. Now think about this. What will we say? Arey namaz to padha na yaro. Zara der kara to kya hua? Bolte nahi bolte. Kahi ko Allah Taala lanat bhej raha. Why is Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala saying? Because that delay is a sign of arrogance of the person. Here is the time for salah. Hayya ala salah. The muazzin has called. The time for salah has come. You say, aap padhenge. Abhi hai na waqt. I will pray. There is still time. No, it's like saying, for example, the father calls the son, come here. He says, Aro, I'll come. Now the father is waiting. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. He calls him again. Are, I'm coming. Wait. What do you say? So the father should be very happy. Kabhi to aaya marne ke pehle ek din. Should he be happy or should he say, what kind of nonsense is this? I mean, I'm calling you. And you can't come. What is this? You are putting out a house on fire or something. What is this great emergency that you are unable to come? This is the father. The father did not create the son. The father is not the raziq of the son. But he has a right. That if he calls, the mother has a right if she calls, that you come. And you come immediately. What about the right of the Rabb Jalla Jalalu? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them, hey, I am tired, I am sleeping, I am busy, I have this meeting, I have that meeting. This is, all of these things are a sign of lack of taqwa, selective obedience, delaying in doing things, which are the hukuk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of these are signs that we do not recognize our Rabb Jalla Jalalu. Because the one who recognizes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not do this. As simple as that. The one who recognizes Allah will not do it. The one who does not recognize Allah is a different issue. And that is the whole point of the taqwa. Definition is what? To fear displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who we love more than anyone or anything else. And I've given you dalail from the Quran for all of these. For the entire statement, I've given you dalail from the Quran for the entire statement. That is what is taqwa. To fear to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, because we love Him more than anyone and anything else. And we can only love the one we know. And that is the connection between taqwa and ta'alluq ma'allah. You cannot love somebody you don't know. If you don't even know the person, you can't love them. So if you don't even know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's the reason why we need to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how do you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? By reading His kalam, by seeing what He said about Himself, by seeing what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about Himself, and then by standing in salah and building a ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is salah? Salah is the tool to build ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll talk about that tomorrow inshallah. But as far as taqwa is concerned, I think this completes it. To say that taqwa is to fear to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fear to displease Allah, because we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anyone else. This is where the love of Allah and the fear of Allah come together. That is the place and that is the point of taqwa. Taqwa is to obey. Selective obedience is disobedience. And I gave you the dalail from the Quran of how selective obedience is prohibited. Complete obedience is the requirement. And the person who still wants to selectively obey, what does the Quran say? What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about their fate in this life itself, as well as in the akhirah? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from that and to include us among the muttaqeen and to fill our lives with the barakah of taqwa. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.